phenomenal beings with the power to communicate. Review movies and television. Bring you the news and say things funny. Streaming to the internet at the speed of light, 96 KBS. For the next few hours, the superhost, Anna May, mistress of the doors. Dave with a unique perspective. And their core mission, right that which is wrong, educate the ignorant, and say things funny. You can join the show on the website at geekworldradio.com. Begin.
Hey guys, you're listening to Geek World on Indie 100, the Point in El Ave. We are your superhero superhosts, Anime, Mistress of the Dork, and the man who never stops talking, Dave! Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. And be sure to check out our website, geekworldradio.com, for all the great stuff that's there. Check out all the stuff on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/geekworldradio. Be sure to subscribe, because we've got awesome stuff and do occasionally put more stuff on there. And theoretically, we'll be putting more stuff on there.
Just wow.
Whatever.
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying it's wow. It's wow-worthy.
Uh-huh.
So, Yes. This show, interesting show. I do want to state, though, before we start this show, that I'm so happy Far Cry 5 is back.
Yes.
Unfortunately,
the Far Cry series is back.
Well, yeah, okay. Far Cry 5 is out, I guess is what I mean. So, yeah, the Far Cry series back. We didn't get to play enough to do, like, a review of it. Who knows, maybe next week. But I just, like, love this series so much.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that, like, every game is the exact same basic plot, except you're always in a different part of the world, and the colorful gang of bad guys is always very different.
Yeah.
So it always feels like an original cool game, even though the brass tacks are the exact same.
Yeah, like, they throw in enough different stuff to make it feel different enough. But yeah, the basics of it in every way are the same as the others.
It's great, though, because I know what I'm getting, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm so psyched. So really, by the time this one started, and the opening felt a little different, and I was like, oh, but then it felt a little different, but then when, like, you know, everything went off, and now I'm now in, like, hunter-killer mode, I'm like, yes, I love this game so much. So I'm very happy Far Cry is back, just super stoked about it.
Yeah.
I love killing cultists. I can't help it. Listen, I'm a 90s
kid.
They're
crazy.
And everyone was scared of cults in the 90s, so there you go.
Okay. So today's show is an interesting one. So
it's about cults. We're talking about cults.
Yeah, and how you should join ours.
Have I ever told you that I wanted to do a show on cults once, but I decided it probably wouldn't be the most fun show ever?
Yeah.
That's why we're doing it today.
No.
It's the cult show. We're talking Heaven's Gate. We're talking Branch Davidians. We're talking the Manson family.
Woo!
No cult will be left untalked about.
Except for all the cults that are
I
untalked
about.
I am
going to talk about them all.
We're going to talk about the cult of genetically modified animals.
Boom. Yeah. That would be a scary cult.
It really would.
I would not want to be. I mean, that would. The Island of Dr. Moreau is essentially
kinda.
That. I mean, they're kind of like
sort
that.
Of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that movie Rampage is going to come out, I don't know, sometime soon.
Oh, right, that's how you came up with the idea. I'm like, why are we talking about this?
Yeah, yeah, and whether or not we're going to see that movie, who knows?
I'm pretty sure, I assume you want to talk about this because we are constantly talking about the greatness of Deep Blue Sea.
I mean,
and
that
I just
also
assumed you wanted to spend an hour talking Deep Blue Sea.
I mean,
which is fair.
I do.
Which is fair, yeah.
I mean, if you're good with that, we can just throw out all the
can
others.
Can we just make this the Deep Blue Sea show and call it a day?
Yeah, I mean, not just this hour, but like next week.
All
week's
the
show,
hours,
all,
yeah.
From now
we're
on.
We're changing from Geek World to
Deep
Blue Sea.
Yeah.
Talk.
Yeah.
Deep Blue Sea chat.
Yeah.
No, Deep Blue Sea, one of those would work.
Deep Blue here, because you're listening to us.
Oh, dang, you did it. You transformed
it.
Wow, it's such a good spin. I'm really impressed by
you
right now.
I know. You guys are, like, in for a treat.
Lucky you guys.
Deep Blue Sea.
Lucky you guys.
But we're going to be talking about genetically modified animals in movies. We're not going to go through the list of them. There's plenty out there.
I don't feel comfortable without lists.
I know. You are, you are freaking out right now.
Yeah. I am jumpy. I feel like I Listen, I feel like I've had a really long drug issue, and I'm just, like, now in the first 2 days of rehab. Can I do it? No one knows.
So the interesting thing about genetically modified animals in movies is that generally somebody, genetically modifies an animal and it goes wildly wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main thing. Like, it's a lot of horror movies. That is the vast majority of these movies.
Well, it's funny because I feel like it's an interesting thing because I think that genetically modified animal movies, like the horror movies, are sort of a breakdown of our two biggest fears as Homo sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fear of animals that are stronger and faster than us, and the fear of science, which is something that we've all started fearing after the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
And it's like sort of the combination of those two things together in a very potent potable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I figured it all out. Let's move on and do something else.
Okay, what topic should we do now?
No, I want to talk about this, because I love these movies. I really do.
Well, I mean, the thing is that there is something about this kind of movie that really hits well with people, or else the Sci-Fi Channel would be out of business. Like, Sci-Fi Channel movie, or pretty much every Sci-Fi Channel movie, is about some sort of genetically modified animal.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Some are, you know, maybe aliens or ghost sharks or things like that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, it's funny because you can't really point to one thing, right? Because this is a big chicken and egg scenario. Because you can talk about, like, the fact that, you know, Godzilla definitely helped this genre.
Yeah.
But also just the scary animal genre was helped by Jaws.
Right.
And of course, The Island of Dr. Moreau is a book that's been around, what was that? Was it early 1900s, I think it was written? Mm-hmm. Like, the very early 1900s. So it's one of those weird genres where you can't really, you can go into your blue in the face about it's because of this movie or that book. But really, it's like an interesting sort of just collection of things over the decades that sort of is the reason why every sci-fi movie now is these kind of movies.
I mean, the thing is that, you know, animal testing has been a thing for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And it's sort of that kind of idea of what if it goes wrong in a way that we can't control?
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, it's crazy, too, because, you know, vivisection was the thing that they were doing back when Island of Dr. Moreau was written.
Yeah.
That's kind of where the idea came from. And it's so preposterously evil, and so just against all the laws of nature, and thank God they outlawed it at some point, probably way too late, but still. And it essentially was this idea of operating on animals, sometimes sadly people, while they're still like conscious and still alive, and it's, you know, to kind of see how they tick and to do sort of experiments. And this was going on this was kind of big news in the science community when The Island of Dr. Moreau was written, because this started unlocking these ideas of, like, you know, really messing with organisms in a really kind of scary way.
And it's an interesting thing because, you know, in actual science, humans have had sort of things related to animals done to them, like I believe it was a baboon heart or
a pig heart or something.
Yeah, something like that someone had implanted because, you know, it was a necessary thing. They needed a heart.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if we learn nothing from Rob Schneider's The Animal, it's that we can definitely put animal organs into people they will be great.
But they'll get the girl. That's the thing. It's like, you know, there is a reality to it that animals and humans do have enough in common because humans are animals.
Right.
That theoretically, with a lot of modification.
Well, yes and no. I think
with a lot of modification.
You know what it is, though? Because it's also like sort of the ultimate, like, balderdash, too. So when I was a little kid, I've told you a story. When I was a little kid, I really wanted to build a robot, right? And so I thought from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, looking back and how Station made the good robot asses, I thought I could just basically take a bunch of, like, the insides of, like, radios and circuit boards and things like that. I could just kind of put them together, tape them together, and a robot would be made from this.
Right.
clearly it's how robots are made, and I was never able to make a robot.
Well, you just chose the wrong electronics.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm kind of a moron. But anyway, my point being is, like, that's the joy of this idea of mixing humans and animals is it seems like something incredibly feasible, even though in reality it's only a little bit feasible.
Well, that's the thing. It's a little bit feasible, and even, like, beyond anything else, it's the imaginary genetic alterations that make that kind of thing more real.
But I guess my point is, it's one of those situations that, like, though it's slightly possible, everyone thinks it's very, very possible in a very expansive way.
Yeah.
Which is great, because then we get, like, gems, like Deep Blue Sea, like Monkey Shines.
Yeah.
Like, Monkey Shines is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That movie is about this guy who, I mean, he's got so much stuff going on. So first off, there's this guy, he becomes a paraplegic, and he gets a helper monkey, right? Mm-hmm. And this helper monkey is having experiments done on her by this dude who literally, you could call him insane because he doesn't sleep at all, right?
Yeah.
And this guy is injecting human brain tissue into this monkey, this helper monkey, this capuchin monkey, and it's making the monkey smarter,
right,
but also somehow creating a telepathic connection between the guy who's paralyzed and the monkey himself.
We're not even going to go into the many flaws in that.
Let's just go, sure, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, killer monkey.
Right.
And who doesn't love a killer monkey?
Well, and then there's, like, a movie like Night of the Lepus.
Yeah.
Where the whole thing was that, you know, rabbits were this weird epidemic kind of thing in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
is it DeForest Kelly in that movie, by the way?
It is.
Okay.
And they were overrun by rabbits, and so, like, that in itself was an issue for Australians.
Yeah.
And so the idea was that, like, these animals were being genetically modified, but the hope was to sterilize them, I think. And it had, there were some disastrous results to it that led to gigantic rabbits that went through the town, which was one of the most amazing things ever, because they had
it's all
miniatures
of the town.
I know. They had actual bunnies hopping through, and it makes me so happy. If you haven't seen Night of the Lepus, I'm not going to tell you it's a good movie, but it's amazing.
It's not a good movie, but I'm pretty sure you can find it on YouTube.
It's amazing.
And it's really funny, because these bunny, giant bunnies
so
just
cute.
Tear humans apart.
They are adorable, because you don't actually
so
see
violent.
Them tearing humans apart.
No.
You just, like, people are scared, and then they have tiny little bunnies with little red all over their face.
There
it's
is
like,
no...
oh, you are eating people.
This is so low budget, and it's from, like, the 70s, early 70s, and so there's no actual special effects, so you don't actually see any bunnies doing anything scary. You see them hopping around, like, you know, like fake little Play-Doh human corpses who doesn't believe that they're giant and they ate people. Yeah, you know, I'm always so fascinated about how horror movies, you know, how they're created, you know, based on, like, real life fears of the time, you know, like Godzilla, we all know, is sort of a metaphor for the A-bomb going off, the atom bomb going off in Japan, the two atom bombs. But, you know, for Jaws, that was a novel first. And, you know, I don't know, but I'm just kind of assuming, like, you know, the situation of just, like, you don't know what's underwater.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's kind of a classic one,
and,
right?
And shark attacks do happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there's some sort of epidemic of it.
Right.
But that's kind of
which that movie actually created a lot of sharks dying because people were so scared of them.
Yep. Ugh.
I know. Poor animals.
I know.
Thanks a lot, Spielberg.
Right? Way to be a good director.
Jeez, I know.
Way to make a really good movie.
But you know, like Night of the Lepus, you know, it's like you were saying, like, because that was an epidemic, that made that someone was like, oh, light bulb, you know, let's turn that, like, what if not only... What if this epidemic got even worse?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Speed, the Keanu Reeves movie.
Or what if the ways that we're trying to deal with it turn against us?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So it's a really interesting thing when it comes down to it. And then you've got the Sci-Fi Channel movies, which are like, oh, you thought a shark was scary?
Yeah.
What about a sharktopus?
Yes.
Those and then you're like,
are great.
That's amazing. That is a fantastic idea. Tell me more.
Yeah. No, I mean, those things really, It's just the best.
Yeah.
It's funny because they're terrible, but you kind of like need those in the world of cinema, don't you?
There's a reason they keep making them. Those things do really well, and it's not because anybody thinks they are great movies.
Yeah.
It's just they are so entertaining, and they are all Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, it's the theater of the absurd in like the best possible way.
Yeah.
You know, because like you just kind of, you want to see that. Like if someone tells you, like, dude, you want to see a movie called Sharktopus? It's like, yes.
Yes, I do.
The answer is yes to that question.
Yeah.
The answer will always be yes. Yeah, well, you had me at Sharktopus.
I know, right? Well, it's so funny because, like, you've got so many of them are the mad scientists.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even a scientist that really is looking to do something good.
Right.
And even if they are, they're also clearly insane. And I say that, too, about Deep Blue Sea because she does not care about humans nearly as much as she cares about her Alzheimer's sharks.
Well, what's crazy about Deep Blue Sea is that as unbelievable as the premise is, it's also one of the more believable premises.
Yeah.
Like, because I believe that somebody would, like, you know, on the down low, do horrible experiments on sharks in order to cure a disease. I completely believe that. Now, whether or not making a shark's brain larger would actually make them that much smarter, I'm not so sure if that matches, especially if it's only one generation of sharks.
Yeah.
Now, if she were making many generations of sharks, then maybe they would evolve to fill that brain space. But I'm not so sure it would happen like that.
I mean, but the fact that she chose, like, you know, dangerous sharks to begin with.
Well,
like,
I think that was a thing, though, is because they kind of go
into
the
large
plot.
Size.
No, they kind of, like, those the thing, though, they fill in, like, the absurd blanks, because I think the idea with sharks is they don't have any human diseases.
Right.
Like, the premise is that sharks are, like, the most badass of all creatures on Earth.
Yeah.
They don't have our issues with diseases, and
no
so they're the perfect sort of like specimen in order to do these kind of experiments.
Yes, let's choose gigantic killer sharks.
Well, you know, maybe when they were all getting eaten, it was a bad idea, but at the time it seemed like a great one.
Uh-huh.
Hey, they got Stellan Skarsgård to be in it, so he obviously, that guy looks smart.
Uh-huh.
So clearly he is. Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of the thing with these movies.
I mean,
though,
without,
right?
Like, without that,
there
wouldn't have been a movie.
Never someone has a great idea, let's see what happens.
They're
always like, someone has a terrible idea and everyone's going to die.
Well, Night of the Lepus was a great idea. It was sterilize the bunnies.
Well, okay. I guess, yeah. But you know, but you're gonna create even more issues.
Yep.
I mean, that's also kind of the idea of these movies, too, is the revenge aspect.
Yes.
It's like, humanity is pushing too hard on nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing too much damage. Now nature's fighting back.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst possible version, of course, is The Happening.
Because
that's just stupid. That has nothing to do with anything.
That is literally nature pushing
back.
Yeah,
that's literally nature. It's not even, like, clever. It's just silly as hell. It's like a bad, like, story you come up with and tell your kids at night for a bedtime story. They're like, Dad, never tell me that story again. It's bad. It's really bad.
You know,
and Night's like, I think it's going to be a movie.
If you want to see a better version of The Happening, see Frogs. Remember that movie Frogs? That was so much better.
Yeah, Frogs is awesome. Yeah, Frogs is an example of nature just fighting back. But once again, there's no, like, environmental aspect.
No.
Now, I will have to say something that kind of fits this genre, which I really wasn't thinking too much about till we were talking about it, was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Though the ooze is of extraterrestrial source, still, like, the turtles were normal turtles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they got exposed to the ooze.
It was unintentional genetic engineering, but genetic engineering
nonetheless. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these just normal little turtles turn into teenage mutants.
Yeah.
You know, and who happen to learn ninjutsu.
Right.
And protect, from a rat who's also been genetically modified.
I mean, and then they have to fight against other genetically modified animals.
Yeah.
Like Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh, I know.
Right?
Those guys are awesome.
So,
yeah, so there it goes. So it's all just, it's all for the fun. But, you know, that's what's interesting, too, is there's such a... Because cartoons and comic books, you know, they always do the fun version.
Yeah.
Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like,
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man for sure. Yeah. I mean, Spider-Man is the best possible scenario. I mean, there's no better scenario, frankly, than Spider-Man. Because Spider-Man gets all the powers and none of the drawbacks. Actually, that's
I mean, he doesn't even have webbing coming out of his butt like a real spider.
I know. You know, what I really love about the David Cronenberg's The Fly, which also sort of fits in this because it's a guy turning into a fly, is, yeah, I know it's like a remake of the crappy 50s movie. And by the way, don't get on top. It is crappy. It's bad. If you've seen the 50s movie, it's horrible. Anyway, but even though it's a recreation of that, I like to think of it as like Cronenberg's version of what Spider-Man would actually be.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Totally.
Because I'm like, it wouldn't be all like, oh, I'm like, I can move super fast and climb walls and get the girl. It'd be like, I'm slowly rotting on the outside because I'm turning into a human spider.
Yeah.
And I love The Fly, but I can't watch The Fly.
Oh, it is so disgusting.
Yeah, pretty much after the scene where he breaks the guy's arm and hooks up with Gina Davis, I'm done. Because once stuff starts falling off, I'm like, no, I don't need to watch this movie. It's a crazy movie, too, because it does a slow burn.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really know. Like, the first time you watch that movie, you're not sure what you're getting into.
Uh-huh.
And by the time it goes horribly awry, you're locked in. You can't go. You can't not watch it. And so it rings out. It is a messed up movie.
Absolutely. Another one is just Jurassic Park and Jurassic World and things like that. You know, it was extinct animals, but then they used actual, like, live animals, the DNA.
Yeah, they used frog DNA. Yeah.
And recreated animals, like, spliced things together.
Yeah, I mean, Jurassic Park is... I mean, if you're going to put Jurassic Park in this list of stuff, then it's already going to be the best of them, because it's really... Because Jurassic Park... Well, the problem is Jurassic Park is the best movie of all the ones.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
So kind of by default wins. Though I would say I would make an argument for Deep Blue Sea, if only because I think Jurassic Park is only like kind of in here.
Yeah.
Should only kind of count. But if only because dinosaurs are like animals that have never existed while mankind has existed.
Right.
So they kind of don't count.
And so we don't know, like, you know, what they would have been like.
Exactly. I mean, it's very sci. I mean, Jurassic Park is as sci-fi as Sharktopus. Maybe I would say more believable than Sharknado.
The thing is that it is based more in science than those than the Sci-Fi Channel movies.
I guess Though they find out now that the DNA would have been destroyed by that point.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, because I really wanted my T-Rex.
But the point is that the conceit is that something was able to preserve it. You know,
100%.
And you know, we never know. At some point, maybe we will find that something, or maybe we'll be able to, you know, the way that DNA is degraded now, maybe we will actually be able to get something from that someday.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, also it's like, as they start like figuring out the genomes of all these different species of animals, like, who knows if maybe at some point they'll find the bird that is the like real link to like, you know, certain dinosaurs, like pterodactyls, or, well, I guess pterodactyls weren't dinosaurs, right? They're not considered dinosaurs.
Not technically dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. It's too confusing. They're dinosaurs.
The thing is that everything from that time period, most of us just consider a dinosaur.
Yeah.
It's sort of the colloquial dinosaur versus the scientific dinosaur.
Did they ever explain how the dinosaurs even survive on Jurassic Park, considering the era is so different in now compared to when dinosaurs would have lived?
I mean, but isn't that sort of the point of splicing it with with animal,
right,
modern animals?
Yeah, I'll buy that for a dollar. You know, it's funny though, I would say that Jurassic World is even more so, because they make BD-1 makes a special genetically engineered invisible T-Rex.
Ones that, like, animals that are not, or dinosaurs that never really existed anyway, that they created, you know, designer dinosaurs.
Yeah, which is pretty cool in that regard. I did enjoy that plot point, though. I was like, we were both like, this is Deep Blue Sea, guys.
Yeah,
this
totally
is the exact same movie as Deep Blue Sea, even down to, well, though the sexy girl in Jurassic World did not make the dinosaur. BD-1 got to be the sexy girl.
Yeah, no, she didn't make it, but she was sort of behind it being made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought And, you know, maybe it was like 12-year-old me at the time, but I always thought it was like kind of progressive to have the sexy chick in the movie also be the smartest, like, the evil scientist in the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, way to go.
I mean, it was in a lot of ways, but...
Gender empowerment.
But I believe that she was not originally intended to be the villain, and then when the movie was made, it was like, oh, she's the villain.
Well, yeah, I mean, that, I think we heard the How Did This Get Made not too long ago about that one, and wasn't it like there was an original ending where she lived?
Yeah.
Because they didn't think of her as the bad guy, because they thought, like, her goal was... overall more altruistic,
mm-hmm.
like the fact that everyone died was just kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
And after a while they're like, no, this is terrible. Yeah. She is a horrible human being.
Yeah.
Because, well, it's
she comes off so heartless throughout the whole thing.
Well, because it's so clear that, like, if she... they went about it in the wrong way. Like, if they were going to do this, they needed to have more security in place to do
this. Well, and not just that, they also go into the fact that they've, like, they've gone against, like, these accords. They've gone against, of the rules and ethics of science. And it's like, okay, you're just a bad guy.
Yeah, I know. The mad scientist thing is always really interesting, mm-hmm. you know, because I've been doing, like, a lot of research into the occult lately. This is not a hard left, by the way. And like,
first,
you know,
cults, now the occult.
Yeah. Well, the thing about the occult, though, is a lot of that stemmed from alchemy and alchemists. And alchemists were kind of, a lot of them were sort of the original scientists, you know? And so sometimes you'll get a situation where the idea of the evil scientist is really no different than the evil sorcerer.
Right.
You know, it's this idea of somebody that takes a set of knowledge and moves it so far into the realm of, like, not okay that, like, something disastrous happens.
Yeah, totally.
And in this, it's, of course, it's super smart sharks or something. But I do like, though, in these movies when the heroes take the responsibility to stop them. Like, in the end with Deep Blue Sea, it came about, like, they can't get out into the main water. Because mm-hmm. if they breed, all of a sudden we got, you know, what they should do, which is a basic Planet of the Apes thing, but Planet of the Deep Blue Seas.
Yeah.
And it'll be like Planet of the Smart Sharks. Like, how dope would that be?
Terrifying.
To make a freaking... because think about it. What they would do is they would, like, bash through all the dams and stuff.
Yeah.
They would, like, create as much of a water world as they could. Yeah. And they would just straight up start eating people.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be an awesome movie. I would watch that movie. And, like, I don't know, maybe find a way to get LL Cool J back.
Ooh.
Maybe they clone LL Cool J.
Why would they need to clone him? He's still alive.
Did he live? I thought everyone died.
No, he and Thomas Jane live.
No, Thomas Jane lives too?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Then, yeah, bring them both back. Yeah. Tom Jane's still around doing great work.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen, people.
Yeah, everyone else has. Yeah, they couldn't kill both black guys.
Fair,
yeah.
Fair. I gotta be honest, I would be so down for a Deep Blue Sea sequel. Like a real one where they put, like, money into it.
Yeah.
I don't want, like, because there might, I'm saying that because I'm not gonna check, there might actually be, like, a bad Deep Blue Sea sequel, but I'm only thinking about, like, a legit return to Deep Blue Sea.
Though I would insist that LL would make another song for it.
Yeah.
Because Deepest Bluest.
Right, yeah, I know. He's got to have a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh man, that would be so cool. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the thing, like, you know, people like shark movies and they like shark invasion movies. You know what's interesting, though? Before, you know, on the show, it's like Shoulders of Giants, right? It's like when you look at the animal revenge movies, in a way, Deep Blue Sea is kind of a combination of Jaws and Orca.
Yeah.
Remember Orca?
Yeah.
Because Orca was just about the fact that, like, this male orca whale was getting revenge on mm-hmm. the people that killed his orca wife and his orca baby.
Yeah.
And he's like smart-ass shark. He, like, literally blew up a shark. Sorry. A cool, like, a dope-ass whale that literally, like, blew up a city.
Yeah.
He broke, like, methane pipes or something and somehow caused a fire to happen.
Yeah.
That, like, he's, like, super intelligent orca. But
and
it was because he was
very
driven.
Angry, yeah.
Yeah, because he was driven by a Charles Bronson-esque, like level of rage.
Yeah.
You know, he was death-wishing an entire town in Cape Cod.
Oh, my God. I have to say, that movie, like, when they do... and it's accidental, but when they do kill the female killer whale and
the baby slides out.
It's so gross.
It's so everything messed
about,
up.
It's horrific.
It's so dark, yeah. I always loved that movie. Does the best little funny bit of one-upsmanship I think I've ever seen in the movie.
Oh yeah,
because they do this thing in the very beginning where these these fishermen or whatever on a boat, and they're like, "Oh, off the bow, there's a great white shark," and you know everyone's supposed to be scared because Jaws has already come out, right? So we know nothing's more badass than a great white shark, right? Rod, and Orca shows up and eats the great white shark, mm-hmm. and it's the best thing.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm just like, I was like, that's a mic drop moment.
Yeah,
they literally just said Jaws is a loser, mm-hmm. Orca is what's up, and I was always a big fan of that.
Yeah, I like those moments. It was really funny.
It's sort of like in Tango and Cash when Sylvester Stallone's like Rambo is a it's like I love that. See, that'd be a fun show too, but probably a lot of work. But we gotta figure out, like, those mic drop moments are great in movies.
Mm.
Well, I think where they kind of openly compare themselves to their competitor,
right?
And say they're better.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually really rare. That doesn't happen a lot.
Well, it's funny because, you know, with Orca, it's not as good of a movie as Jaws.
Of course not. Not even remotely close.
But it's not awful either.
No, it's not. It's just like...
It's not as awful as it probably should have been.
Yeah, no, it's just...
I mean, it's no Deep Blue Sea.
It's fine. You know, it's a fine movie, but that's kind of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really... It's not stylish and cool, and it doesn't really... You don't feel like your pulse pounding like mm-hmm. you do during Jaws. You're just kind of watching. You're like, oh, cool. Now you also, you don't care about anybody.
No.
That's the difference, too. In Jaws, you know, you want the sheriff and his family and Dreyfus and all those people. You, like, want them to live. You know, you want them to beat the shark. In Orca, you could care less.
Mm.
You're like, all these people could die. This entire town could explode. I want this Orca to get revenge.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, that's the thing about Orca, though.
The Orca is the hero.
Orca is not Jaws. Orca is Death Wish.
Yeah.
Starring a killer whale.
Yep.
Because 100% at the end of the day, you want him to win.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Planet of the Apes reboot.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's what's... It's bloody insane that they ever got these movies made.
Yeah.
The fact is, like, it is a prequel to a series of movies where, in the future, mankind has been taken over by super smart apes, right? And these movies, like, because the first one was all about the twist, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my god, it's really Earth, but then they kept on going. And these reboots are all about, like, the start of essentially us causing... this all to happen.
Yes.
Us creating, us doing experiments on apes, like Monkey Shines, essentially, which made a super smart ape that essentially made a bunch of other apes smart using human science and then created an uprising of apes.
Yeah.
And it's so well done. It is more well done than it deserves to be.
Well, it was an interesting thing because it was a combination of two things. The first thing was, like you said, the super smart ape because of the experimentation. The second thing was the plague.
The plague that
killed off a lot of humans.
So you're right. So it was more believable because you're like, the apes wouldn't have, like, gone and killed all the people.
Yeah, and like, there would have been enough, like, you know, army to take them out, but...
And I love that idea, too, that whole, like, action-reaction thing. The fact that, like, because the apes were getting, like, modified, they were also creating this, like, anti-human disease, which I thought was really cool. And also, like, makes sense. You know, they're finding as they do more and more gene editing with the CRISPR technology, they're finding that... it's really great because they can edit out certain things that they don't want, but they're finding more and more stuff is happening they don't want.
Yeah.
Because they're doing this stuff, can't predict. Because
we don't fully understand it enough to be, like, to
be
actually...
doing it, yeah.
Well, yeah, to be messing with it in ways that they're going to bring out into the world.
I know.
You know, it's... once they learn more about the genes... And figure out, like, how they can re-put things together and what can actually be put together.
I know.
You know, if they ever do, which...
It makes you wonder how do they ever... Because, you know, a lot of science and a lot of, like, learning is just, like, experimentation and cause and effect. And it makes you wonder, like, did the first, like, few decades of trying to make an atom bomb, were people just blowing up left and right? Were people just, like, were they leading scientists just annihilated by touching the wrong two things together, and then another group tried it again? Like, huh? You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to think about
in this past and honestly in the present too. Scientists do die from their own experiments, you know. It's like
Madame Curie.
Exactly. I mean,
her stuff is still radioactive.
Yeah,
like if you wanted to go and look at like the thing she owned, I think there's like a small window of time you can look at it because it's radioactive.
Yeah her studies with radium, like they are what killed her. She discovered amazing things and did amazing things, but you don't learn about the dangers of certain things until horrible things happen.
Well, it really sucks, too, because not only was she a genius and ahead of her time and doesn't really get all the respect she deserves, but she totally ruined both Spider-Man and the Hulk for me. Because now I just can't believe radiation will just give you dope superpowers.
I know.
With, like, no drawback.
I mean, you never know. Like, maybe it's a specific kind of radiation.
That's true.
Of course, you know, when it comes to gamma rays, that's just a whole nother story of doesn't do
gamma radiation.
Anything.
Yeah. No, it's gamma. It sounds great.
Right.
It's okay, though. You know?
They're making... when they were making comics for kids, it's like, words.
Not just that, but
science,
like...
Science words.
Not just that, but like, you know, at some point, you have to just go, it's science fiction. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're allowed to... You have to take a leap.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to science fiction.
Well, and back at the time, they really didn't have a lot of research on that kind of thing anyway. It's that's why it's always funny when you look back at some of these and it's like... No, that's been disproven. Like I said, Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
They're finding sharks now with tumors, so sharks can get cancer.
Interesting.
Back at the time when Deep Blue Sea came out, it was believed that sharks couldn't get any of the same kind of diseases humans do.
What if it's because we are contaminating the water so much worse?
That's exactly
why. Right?
Yeah, that's, or at least that's why they believe it happened.
Poor
sharks. I know.
Oh man. Poor everybody.
I don't know.
Poor world.
I don't know if it kills them in the same way it does us.
Yeah. No, it probably just makes them super intelligent. Oh
right.
My god, what if it gave them telepathy?
Oh.
What if they could talk to us? Ooh. Telepathic shark. What about a shark that teams up with a gruff cop to solve crimes in Marina Del Rey?
On the high seas.
On the high seas.
Oh,
or anywhere.
Wait. Teams up with a gruff, what are those ones that are on the sea? The police on the sea?
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
Oh my god. A grizzled Coast Guard.
Yeah.
A month away from retirement teams up with a telepathic shark. Who just has something to prove.
Uh-huh.
He wants to prove that not all sharks are bad guys. And the two of them make the first human-shark cop partnership.
Ooh.
I'm thinking Amazon Prime show at least.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally.
I don't know if Netflix will bite, but certainly Amazon. They'll go for it.
I mean, Netflix won't bite.
Exactly. Sadly, I meant that one. That was probably the only time I've ever done a pun and meant to do it. Actually, I don't know if I did. Let's say I did and just go. I was at least aware of it when I said it.
I mean, let me ask you, you know, if you were to create a genetically modified animal movie, is that what you'd want? Would you want like it to be a smart thing that teamed up with a human? Or would you or would you want the crazy like, oh, it all went wrong?
I'm a big fan of it all went wrong and a lot of innocent people died because of it. I just always like those movies a lot. For me, it's like, I think there needs to be like an acceptably large body count in these kind of movies for me to enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think I tend to like my genetically modified creatures to be bad, to be evil.
So you lean more towards the Deep Blue Sea than the Ninja Turtles.
Think I do. Because the problem is, once you start making them, like, heroic, then everything gets weird.
What about street sharks?
Well, street sharks
are not
something
good.
Else. Street sharks are the best creation of mankind.
Street sharks
so.
Are amazing.
Yeah.
Because, for those of you who don't know, Street Sharks was a cartoon in the
80s.
90s.
Yeah.
That was, you know, after Ninja Turtles came out, there was a bunch of sort of wannabe cartoons.
Yeah, well, it was Ninja Turtles and then Battletoads and then Street Sharks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And things like Samurai Pizza Cats, things like that.
Yeah.
So with the Street Sharks, these guy, these like four brothers.
Probably
or something,
Thundercats
three brothers.
You could put in there too.
Yeah.
So four brothers.
These four brothers, their dad is a scientist. They get kidnapped by an evil scientist and made into half man, half sharks.
Yeah.
Which they're totally upset for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then they're totally cool with it and saying things like sharksome and jawsome and giving high fives.
Yeah.
They look like sharks, but they're not in water.
They're horrifying. Even an animated form, they're horrifying monsters.
And they just destroy everything. Like, they somehow can swim through concrete.
Yep.
And so the streets get, like, absolutely destroyed anytime they're there. Like,
they cause more chaos than they could ever possibly say.
Yeah, like, they are not good guys.
No, they're definitely the villains of this story.
I mean, they're not the villains because they didn't want to be that. But then they certainly aren't as helpful as they should be.
It's like the Frankenstein thing. It's like, at what point is Frankenstein just a monster you want to destroy? Uh-huh. Right? Like, at what, when does the tipping point go from tragic monster to thing that needs to be destroyed? And I don't know. That's everyone needs to make that decision for themselves. Anime. Mm-hmm. But yeah, street sharks are they're bad dudes.
Yeah.
I love street sharks. I love that thing so much. But once again, you know, it's a in all seriousness, you know, it's a fun cartoon that is fun because it's so bad.
Yes.
And certainly that goes to those sci-fi channel movies too, but yeah, I always like the human against the monster.
Yeah.
I'm just a big fan of that in general. And what's crazy is, I guess this has always been part of it, but one of the cool things about Alien, especially as the years go on, is the Alien movies are all about making hybrids. The Alien movies are all about, you know, the xenomorphs, like, the xenomorph looks like what it looks like because it mixed with human DNA.
Yeah. Now, in this case, it's not like in a lab.
Yeah.
This is just how it sort of procreates, you know. This is how it breeds in
a way. Yeah, the facehugger just like launches on you and basically just creates something mixed with your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done more so of that with the prequels. And that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
It's very invasive species. Oh, yeah. Incredibly invasive. But it's pretty cool nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the idea. I'm a big fan of the ones where they try to make them as a weapon and the weapon kills them. What they were doing in Jurassic World, frankly.
Yeah, yeah. It's always upsetting when certain people don't die in those.
I know,
But then you can have a second one, and that's good or bad, depending.
Yeah. but I really like, but I also like really weird ones, too. Like, in Lawnmower Man, when they had that chimp, that smart chimp, hooked up to VR for so long, the chimp went, like, postal.
Yeah.
Remember, the chimp, like, just got out a gun and started killing people
like
in the whole world?
That's how it started, right?
That's how it starts. It's
so
insane.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they're like, VR is so dangerous, it'll turn a monkey into a spree shooter.
Yeah.
Don't use VR, kids.
VR is going to teach your monkey how to shoot guns, and...
How crazy is it when we were, like, little kids, everyone was like, VR is the thing.
Yeah.
And there were these giant, like, grotesque, like, stand things that you would go in and be in a little circle, have the giant, really heavy mask on. It was, like, the worst graphics ever.
Oh, yeah.
And it took until now. It literally took, like, you know, over 25 years, and now we have, like, actual real viable VR.
Yeah, well, the thing is that there was never really a good consumer model of it. There was never... And they weren't good enough.
They tried early and like was burning out retinas with the red Game Boy thing.
Mm.
That you know, what was that when we Virtual Boy, yeah.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Those were red lasers in your
eyes. Well, and that's kind of the thing, that they didn't spend enough time actually researching this stuff. But the thing is that, like...
You're trying to say they put something out,
that
a company put something out that was untested? Yeah.
I'm gonna say that, yeah.
Crazy.
I
mean, just for stockholders so they can make money?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of corruption just is impossible.
Uh-huh. But the fact is that, you know, VR, like, it's still up in the air how much it's going to be in people's homes. And I do think that there's going to be a time when it's a lot more prevalent than it is right now.
I'm thinking Ready Player One is a pretty good indication of where we're going.
Yeah.
And I will have to say that the one thing the movie did really well that I think they did also, you know, also quite well in the book was making that seem pretty feasible.
Yeah.
Making, like, the oasis and that world where everyone is so scared of the outside. Though a lot, I actually talked to people who were upset that that there were people outside doing stuff. They liked in the book how it was, like, so post-apocalyptic you didn't go outside at all.
Yeah.
Which, like, I get, but I think in a way, though, this almost makes it slightly scarier because, like, oh, we just became this.
Yeah.
It's not even like we became it out of necessity. It's just this is what we became.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, in a way, it's a little more striking.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot, like, that they changed in the movie. We talked about this in the last show. And, you know, for better or worse, whatever. But that's not what we're talking about, Dave. That is not genetically modified animals.
We're talking about sharktopuses. I don't even know what other ones to bring up. All I keep on thinking about is Deep Blue Sea.
Talk more about Deep Blue Sea, Dave.
No, it's just like, they're awesome. They're like super smart sharks that use a human body as a battering ram.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. I really did. I was like, I am on board for this. Please give me more.
So, do you prefer like mad scientists doing it or it happening by accident?
I'm a mad scientist, for sure.
So you like it when it's totally intentional?
Yeah, it's more interesting that way, because then it's the whole Frankenstein of it all, because if it just kind of happens by mistake, like, it's still cool, mm-hmm. but I like when there's someone to blame.
Yeah.
And then I like either that person being killed by their creation,
yeah.
or them totally getting away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I like either version, frankly. It always works for me, because the getting away with it, to me, isn't as ironic as rings true. I feel like that's the reality of the world. It's
yeah.
like people create a chaotic situation, many people get hurt, and the person who created the situation gets away with it. I think that's like the world we live in.
In a lot of ways it is.
Once
yeah.
in a while, people get their just desserts.
But
and
usually
that's
some scapegoat does.
But usually, exactly. Usually it doesn't happen. And so I'm always a fan of that kind of thing, especially when it comes to sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like Gaius Baltar, you know, is kind of a
yeah.
good example of that. Even though he didn't exactly create the Cylons,
he
basically gave them the keys to to destroy humanity.
I always like it in these when like the mad scientist who created it, they totally believe that they have full control over these animals,
yeah.
and they're like, you know, come my children and
yeah.
attack those people, and it's like, and then on the path to attack those other people, they eat
yeah.
the scientists.
I'm a big fan of that too. You know, I often think about though it's not exactly the same thing, like Babidi from DBZ when he brought out Majin Buu, because they always think like, oh, they're gonna be able to use this weapon. It's like, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're like, you are messing with forces that you do not understand.
Yeah.
You know, and Lake Placid is one of those too, right? Or was
I don't
it Lake
know.
Placid just giant? Were they just giant?
They were just naturally giant, I believe.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was a crazy thing. And then,
it was a crazy,
you know,
old lady just
yeah.
breeding
just
giant.
Essentially.
Same thing with Anaconda too, right? It
yeah.
was just a giant. It was just that. See, that's the realm of like the sort of the like the Loch Ness monster, the
yeah.
sort of super animal that exists but nobody sees it because it's in the dark jungles.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that like anaconda is actually a little more believable
yeah.
in a way, because there are parts of like the Amazon and stuff that people don't go to that
yeah.
that theoretically, you know, in untouched areas animals could grow a lot larger, and in areas that people aren't, certain animals do grow a lot larger than they do other places.
Yeah, it's also believable when it regurgitated John Voight and
right.
he winked.
Yeah,
that
totally.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
That was, yeah. I think that movie was like, I had heard something about, because CGI was still so new and expensive, like, it was crazy expensive. Like, every second that anaconda was on screen was like $1 million
yeah,
or something
yeah, totally.
Like that. It was like it was some crazy statistic. I couldn't believe it. You know, listen, it's those kind of steps that bring us to the sort of CGI wonderland we live in today, where now it's like all of a sudden it's like, hey, look, you know, Ready Player One's like 70% CGI and Avatar is like 1,000,000,000% CGI.
Yeah.
Can you believe, by the way, can I just mention that Black Panther is now the third highest grossing domestic film of all time?
By the time this comes out, who knows? It might be second. I don't think it'll
be
second.
It's
going
to be tough.
That's going to be real tough.
I feel like there's a possibility it could beat Avatar, but getting to Force Awakens is going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
Because Force Awakens is like 900 $1 million.
That's crazy.
Which it like and almost in very in close, I think close to a billion than 900.
Wait, and is that worldwide or domestic?
No, this is just domestic.
Yeah, that it's insane.
Yeah, worldwide is way. I think worldwide is different. I think Avatar is number one worldwide.
Here's the question: like, how did it reach this spot faster than those movies that are ahead of it?
I don't know because
we know that certain ones, not necessarily Avatar, but like. Well, and probably not The Force Awakens.
I know Titanic was in the theaters for a long time.
It was in the theaters for a long time, and it also, every, like, couple of years gets brought back out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, so I'm very curious about that.
I know.
You know what's kind of surprising to me, though?
What?
So, these movies, like, they're so fantastic, and it's such a great, like, situation. But I feel like that doesn't get translated to games as much, which is weird, because, like, you know... It feels like it should be. Like, a lot of the time, the genetic modification, it then becomes, like, zombies or something. It's, like,
yeah,
Resident Evil.
Yeah.
But I feel like there are not many games that are, like, genetically modified creatures that you're fighting. Like, it's generally just, it's standard. It's, like,
yeah,
you are fighting aliens.
Zombies,
you are fighting
aliens.
Or bad people.
Yeah. No, you're right. Overall, there aren't a lot of genetically modified animals mm-hmm. that you're fighting. Yeah, no, you're right. Overall, there really isn't. I think because, like, I don't know. I think it's just, like, they want to spend their money on meteor stuff like an alien or something, or a trans-dimensional being.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's actually a good point. I never really thought about that.
I mean, do you think that people would play games like that?
I don't know. I don't think
is it because animals, like, they look too much like their animal counterparts?
That's part of it. I don't think people like hurting animals in video
yeah.
games.
You save the cat, you don't kill it.
Yeah, like, even, like, Far Cry, like, the only ones that really attack you are, like, you know, lions and, mm-hmm. like, you don't really see a game.
And cassowaries.
Cassowaries. But think about this, like, think about how many games a dog is your companion.
Right.
And now think of how many games where dogs attack you and you need to kill them.
Resident Evil.
That's it. And yep. they are like, they don't even look like dogs. They yeah. look like gross flesh dogs. It's because, like, you know, people, you know, we like to protect animals if we can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's part of it, honestly. And but then you get this weird thing where, like, okay, so if you have animals that look like people who are attacking, it's like, it's a lot to explain. And it needs to be about that.
Yeah.
You can't make it about something else. It's got to be, oh, okay, wait a second. That's a lion man. Why?
Yeah.
Oh, if
I
know lying,
I mean, I guess right. that's the thing, though. Like, now that the stories in games are better,
yeah.
maybe they could make one. But then again, would we even want that?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I think anything, it would just come down to what their plan is. You
mm-hmm.
know, to because it could be cool. I mean, you know, I think a good example is One Punch Man.
Mm.
You know, One Punch Man is this amazing mix of genres. You
yeah,
know? It's a superhero genre, but it's very much sci-fi too. You know, think about how many. There are characters that are genetically modified creatures. Some are, like, actual, like, lion men or,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, crab men or giants. And a lot of them, like, that's the thing. They're exactly what we're talking about. They're genetically modified. And so...
What about, like, a Deep Blue Sea game where it's more of an escape? Like, you want to take out the sharks, you want to figure out the ways, but, like, that movie in itself literally has those levels.
I feel like a Deep Blue Sea game could only be done as a puzzle game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, an escape game, not a, like, going after.
I mean, what you could do with Deep Blue Sea is sort of like what you did with the Jurassic Park game, where you can be either the sharks or the humans.
Is that how the Jurassic Park game
yeah,
went?
The Jurassic Park game, you could either be humans or raptors.
That is so funny.
Yeah, and that could be kind of cool, because, you know, like, each one would have, like, a goal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming, like, you know, the shark one would be trying to figure out how to kill the humans
right
in an amount of time,
or maybe how to escape, right? Like, because that's all
right, because that's all
that
they're
get...
trying to escape, and the humans are in their way,
and
right?
that
yeah.
like that 8 inches is all the difference.
I know it's
oh
so
it's
funny.
So good.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
So
But no, I don't think they make for good games. Because I think the thing about games is, like, it needs to be action all the time, and these movies are not action all the time. These movies tend to be more about, like, terror.
Right.
And more about, like, you know, a few people dying. Like, very, very few times is it a situation like Piranha 3, Double D or something like that, or Sharknado, where it's like many people are dying all at once, you know? Usually it's like a few people are dying.
It's funny because it's like you can't make a Piranha game because there is no escape. There is no fighting, really.
Yeah, no, it's just getting gobbled up. I mean, that's the kind of game they tried to make in the 2000s just to be edgy.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's cool, though. I feel like, though, there was in many ways more experimentation in games of the late 90s, early 2000s than there is today. I feel like today there's such a high expectation that like they don't take as many chances. Like, I remember I played a game in the 90s called like Spider with a Y, and I was like this little spider that had like each leg had like a cybernetic attachment I could add to it, like a machine gun or a flamethrower. And it was just like this weird little game.
Yeah.
And like they wouldn't make that game. Like if they made that game today, it would be like a very low budget.
That's
like,
the thing.
Cell
it's like
phone
that.
Game.
That's like an indie game, like Goat Simulator.
Yeah.
Or like that one where you're a slice of toast.
Yeah. Or like Seaman or whatever. Do you remember that game?
Oh from my Sega god, CD? That is horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess you're right. I guess it's
and
not
also
that they,
it was a terrible name.
It's not that they don't. I guess it's that big companies don't make those games anymore because of the risk.
Yeah.
But people have the tools now to make them.
I guess the other thing is that like for the vast majority of games like that, or the movie or for movies like that, they're not good movies. They're just
they're not.
And so it wouldn't translate to a good game because your source material isn't good.
Yeah, exactly. And even if they did like a super epic like Sharknado versus what is the Mosquito Man one?
Oh, Mansquito.
Mansquito versus, you know, like
versus
Classy,
Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah. Like if you did a game like that, people would just be like, this is stupid. This is Sci-Fi Channel.
And they would be right.
Yeah, I mean, and that's ultimately the rub of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that now these kind of movies have become a joke.
Yes.
You can't take them seriously. Deep Blue Sea was kind of the end of being able to even, like, conceive of this idea in a serious way.
Yeah.
The only reason Jurassic World works is it has the legacy of Jurassic Park to
and the
to
story
hold it up.
Of Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, yeah. But they can get away with it because all you focus on is Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
It's like why Force Awakens did so well. You can focus so much on how the fact that it's the exact same movie as the first Star Wars.
Right.
So all of a sudden, like, you're in with Force Awakens because it's not a challenge.
Yeah.
What's the challenge there? It's the same movie.
I don't have to focus on this at all.
I really don't have to pay attention, you know? It's just like, oh, I get everything that's going on. You don't need to explain anything to me. Like, I understand that Rey is Luke. I understand that, you know, Kylo Ren is Darth Vader. Like, there's no question. Han Solo is Uncle Ben. I mean, it's the same freaking story.
Totally.
So, you know, great news.
Great news indeed.
You know, don't figure any. I don't have to use my mind at all.
I mean,
which
that's
always
particularly
sign up
good
for
you.
That's my main thing. That's my main goal. I'm like, do I need to think?
Yes.
They're like, no. Then I'm like, I'm on board.
Which is why you love Sci-Fi Channel movies.
Do we talk about the fact that we saw A Quiet Place?
No.
It's really good.
It is.
Yeah, you guys should definitely see that movie if you can. I'm all for, like, smaller budget horror movies.
Yeah.
You know, doing well.
It does not have genetically modified animals.
No.
No.
I literally can't think of any other things that have it. What else has them?
What else has them? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. You can bring it up, but I have no idea.
Yeah. No, I was just mentioning that you weren't bringing up A Quiet Place because
so
it was part. It was thematic.
No,
it's just because we happen to see it.
Actually, still like in line with what we're discussing right now. They're like,
I mean, maybe. Guys, are you in
it's
line
possible.
With what we're saying?
Are you guys telepathic sharks that know what we're talking about right now?
Oh my god! Yeah, wait.
Well, okay, well, what's your favorite one? Well, we only got a few minutes
left. Deep Blue
Sea! It's Deep Blue Sea, right?
I mean it
kinda
has to
is.
Be.
It kind of is,
yeah.
I mean, it's the thing. There is none better than Deep Blue Sea.
And
because Jurassic Park does not count.
Yeah, no, and seriously, if you watch those Sci-Fi Channel movies, minus maybe Sharknado, which is like a who the heck knows what
Sharknado
that
is? Sharknado is like an Axe Cop situation. Like a 5-year-old came up with an idea and they're like, let's make this.
Well, it was more like they're sitting in the writer's room, they're like, how far can we go?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because literally there is one called Ghost Shark.
That's great.
And it is a ghost shark.
That's amazing.
So, you know, they got to that point. It was like, how far can we go?
Yeah.
But the vast majority of Sci-Fi Channel movies, you know, from the years before Sharknado happened, are just completely in the mold of Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It is weirdly a very important movie in this very strange genre.
And the thing is that it's so entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, there is so... Like, it shouldn't be as entertaining as it is.
Yeah.
But I want to follow LL Cool J, you know? Like, yeah. You can't help but love LL Cool J. Ladies love Cool J.
They do. They really do. And, like, people like sharks, too. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, shark movies are always appreciated.
Yeah.
So, go for it.
But at that, guys, we're out of time. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. And be sure to check out our website, geekworldradio.com. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same place. Geek World.